Good evening, America, the United States of America, all the way over to France, to London, to South Africa, even to Japan and Korea. We are worldwide, streaming on air, live stream, jamesclive.com. This is Eternal Flame News. I am Jeremy, and this is...
Miranda.
And we are...
JMC Ministries.
Yes, we are. That was good. That was good. Quick highlight. I want Miranda to give us the highlight of tonight's program. What do we got covered tonight, Miranda?
We have Facebook still allows all this, meaning child porn after sex scandal. Update on North Carolina teacher suspended for telling student he could be arrested for talking badly about Obama. Martin Luther King Jr.'s niece rejects NAACP's embrace of homosexual agenda. 43 Catholic groups file suit against Obamacare. The U.S. has a death czar? Yes, we do.
And we do? Scary.
Yes.
Wow.
And MTV scraps reality show about young people losing their virginity. And in good news, pro-choice is at an all-time low in America. Pro-life has gained momentum with people in America. So it's some good news in the midst of all this bad.
All right, we did do a JMC update this week, talking about all the things going on in the ministry. But more particularly, the first thing we have to highlight a little bit, and we'll probably get into more in-depth tomorrow, and we'll possibly share a portion of the clip of the prayer event we went to yesterday. We went and met a family in Portsmouth who, Miranda, how did they know you again?
We found out the daughter of the woman we were praying for, I'd worked with her about 5 years ago when I was an STNA. Then her mother and her husband knew my father and my grandparent, his parents, and the mother also knew my mom's side of the family. And the daughter even personally remembered my aunt who played drums for Southern Gospel groups in our area, and she was remembering. She said, "Oh yeah, I remember when your aunt played drums for this group and that group," and I mean, it was amazing. We didn't know who these people were, and they just wrote us for prayer, and we showed up, and we found out we know each other. So
it's a small world. It was just so amazing to actually see. And I need you to verify that we're streaming live. I just want you to check it to be safe. It looks good. The only thing that I have to say about it is, I just sat back and listened. We did a preview, I guess you would call it a preview video. Actually, a sermon on prayer en route from Chillicothe, Ohio to Lucasville. And we covered and discussed about what we thought prayer means. We covered and talked about what we thought being a Christian means. And we found out, talking to different ministries, different individuals across the country and the world, that we're running into situations, a lot of situations, where I understand that a physical altar has been removed from churches. I understand there have been people that have stopped praying at services on a regular basis. Meaning, they're only doing it a couple of times a service, more likely like an opening closing prayer type situation, and it made me, and it struck me very difficult in my mind, and I know I'm probably going into this more than I should tonight, but I feel led to. What are we doing when we remove? And I said this in the video. What are we doing when we remove the most lifeline, integral portion of relationship with Christ, the confession of your sins, how you get saved, and then the next step is continually to talk to Christ. Because honestly, that whole confession of repentance is a sinner's first prayer. It's a Christian's first prayer. Most people probably don't look at it that way. That's your first prayer. And if you don't understand how to go any further than that, then there's a big problem. And speaking of problems, check out Facebook. And we're all on Facebook, man.
Bring that up full so People can see it.
This is a and that's a picture of a brassiere. Why is it on there? I don't know how it worked. But Chelsea Schilling, who we interviewed at World Net Daily, guys, you have to see this for yourself. They continually are talking about sexual activities and so on and so forth, and you know, it bothers me to no return that we still have this issue. You know, I realize it's not an issue that can be fixed overnight. That's been the argument. Well, Jeremy, this requires funding, and this is what people tell me. And you know, it requires a lot of time to verify that the images are actually children, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. Or if they're really, you know, not just found it from someone else or whatever. I've heard all the excuses. I've heard all the logistics and everything. But
it's
the
fact that it's there.
Yes.
Why not hold them accountable for putting something? Doesn't matter where you found it. Mm-hmm. It's wrong.
And that was the thing that bothered me the most, is why is it there, and what can we do? For those of you interested, she still has her four-part WorldNet Daily exclusive about her investigation into Facebook. We have our interview with her as well, and several others have interviewed her. What's the future for this? Well, we as American people need to be willing to pass more, not necessarily laws, but how about the law enforcement side? You know, I understand it probably means more laws for the salaries to increase, to hire new employees, not give someone a raise. Honestly, think, I'm going to say something very controversial, don't take me wrong, I know this is Memorial Day, but for those that are involved from all the different formats of law enforcement, from your local to your city, your state, your federal, I don't think someone should get a pay raise that specifically does this kind of work day in, day out, until we can get a better grasp upon it. Take that pay raise and create a new position so more work can be done. Because the argument I've heard from sheriffs and local police departments and Interpol and the FBI, CIA, Secret Service, everyone else I've talked to have been involved in this stuff for years on years, is we don't have the manpower. We don't have the ability to capture it all. And I realize technology is getting to the point where you can, you know, verify some images that are already in a saved database and so on and so forth. But by no means should we downsize this. And I realize with our economy and everything, it's going to get real difficult to even try and even be able to do something like that. But I wanted to look at it because it got me to the point where the more conversations I've had with people talking about this and having that dialogue and asking the question, you know, like, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to stop this? What are we supposed to do to fix it? And why can't we change the way things are being done? Because that was my biggest issue. You know, I did not want this to continue anymore whatsoever. I wanted it to stop. I wanted it to stop so much that I kept pressing and pressing and pressing, and I've seen some laws change. We just had here in Ohio, sex trafficking law passed. Now, speaking about holding people accountable and trying to fix things, what kind of law and freedoms do you think a teacher should have? Let me ask Miranda. Miranda, what do you think a teacher should be allowed to do with interacting with a student? Like, when's the line crossed? Before we actually say what we're talking about next, like, let's get some boundaries established here and explain why.
Well, first and foremost, a teacher is there to teach, to educate. They're not there to push their own agenda. They're there to push what the children need to know so that they can succeed in life. It has nothing to do with a certain belief system or a certain kind of a political view or anything like that. It has to do with, okay, to succeed in life, you have to have a certain amount of education. You know, you have to have so much education on how to read, how to write, how to communicate, how to do math, and also know your history, social studies, which seems to be sadly dwindling and all these categories seem to be just dwindling. Education I feel like the education system has just continually gone downhill since the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
And it is because laws keep being changed. And while we're looking at this next article, this is partly why it's happening. North Carolina teacher suspended for telling student he could be arrested for talking badly about Obama.
And now, she wasn't just suspended without pay. She was suspended with pay. So she gets a vacation.
No, let me fight on her
getting
behalf.
A vacation.
The way I would say it is that you could be arrested if you are threatening.
And that's what the student said. Says, the only way the student said in the audio, because he recorded it, because this teacher had been bullying him and other students when it comes to politics. And why she was even bringing it up if she couldn't deal with the other side, that's her own downfall. But the student said, I can't be arrested unless I'm threatening him. And I'm not threatening him. And she said, you're slandering him. Because what it was, the teacher had asked how, was talking about when Mitt Romney bullied this person in school. And in Obama's book, one of his books, he did talk about how he did bully a fellow student.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this teacher obviously didn't know that. She obviously doesn't know her constitution. And she, even though she's a social studies teacher, she obviously doesn't have the knowledge she needs to truly be teaching. As I feel a lot of teachers today obviously are not educated enough to be teaching education to today to America's future generation. So anyway, she got her ideals mixed up with what's truth, and she started telling this kid, because he brought that up, that Obama never bullied anybody, and you're slandering him, and you're going to be you could be arrested right now for talking about this. Well, the video went viral, and this teacher's been suspended. As of right now, she's still suspended, but she's still getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's wrong, because if you're, it's like these police officers that, you know, they've committed a crime while they're on the job, but yet when they're suspended with pay. How is that right? You know.
I know. Getting paid, well, I mean, here's the thing. If you're going to do an investigation, you're not sure they did something wrong, you don't suspend them without pay. When you have enough proof, then they're suspended without pay. But I understand maybe a 3-day window at most with pay, but if you're going to go in weeks on end and you already have some information, the problem is these investigations take forever, and that's the point.
It wasn't just that she told this to the kids, she also swore at the kids. She used the curse word for poo-poo at this kid. Which he used it back at her, the same word, but that's besides the point. A teacher shouldn't be using that kind of language in the classroom. I mean,
no.
If she's going to say that, what else has she said?
Exactly.
I mean, you and I know that if we would have used that language, we would have been sent to the principal's office and got detention. But a teacher can do it, and she's gets suspended with pay. And it's not even about the curse word. It's about, you know, her telling this kid and threatening this the student. She yelled at him. I mean, she went off. I mean, she was screaming at this kid.
Yep, and we're not going to play the clip because I just...
Yeah, I won't play it because of the swearing in
this,
it.
This is where it's... The reason why this is happening, because the political realm, and this is why we do Eternal Flame News, the political realm, right and left, is really splitting. There's really a big divide.
A gap between.
The gap between what you believe and what you don't believe is becoming more and more obvious. Now, yes, there are people that are in that gray zone, but most people aren't really in a gray zone anymore. You know, they don't. They might do a local vote on how the person is a good old boy or whatever, but on a larger scale, no, they'll say I'm a fill in the blank, and you know that's the way to go. And it's scary that we get all these situations and places and things that keep falling us apart and doing so many different things, but you got to be careful. You definitely have to be careful because so much happens and that entity of a teacher's right has been crossed the line. Now, speaking about crossing the line, check this out. Martin Luther King's niece, Dr. Evita C. King, says same-sex marriage is not a civil rights issue. And I've actually said that on my show. I don't believe it is a civil rights issue because now we got the NAACP saying, oh yeah, they should be allowed to get married. I have specifically said the reason why I don't agree with this is the argument is they're not wanting to just make the justice of the peace be allowed to do same-sex marriage. They're not just talking about your insurance companies or a hospital recognizing a homosexual thing. And I mean, I understand if you're in a relationship with someone, a hospital should recognize that. You know, you got proof to prove that, you know, you're with someone. You know, whether you're married or not.
They give you medical benefits.
You know, medical benefits, you know, it's a hard line to cross.
Let me say something real quick. But however, when a child turns 18, their parents sometimes, they're cut off on their parents' health insurance immediately. I was, when I turned 18, I had no health insurance coverage. The only way you keep getting covered sometimes under your parents' health insurance, if your parents have it, is if you go on to college. So, if people that turn 18 don't even have a right to health to be under health insurance of their own parents, why should we give people, you know, these quote rights when they're not even married?
Well, that's the point. They want to make marriage legal.
But do you not understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying?
What are you trying to say?
Well, if they want to say, well, I should have health insurance because I'm this way, so could these 18 years. Well, I'm 18. I have a right to still have health insurance. Just because I'm 18 doesn't mean, you know, my parents should have to stop paying for my health insurance. Do you see what I mean?
So Miranda thinks that this is where we're different on views, and you can probably see it at this point. Miranda's saying,
but what I'm saying is it's kind of the mentality is completely screwed up because nobody. They are given the same rights as everyone else. They have a right to live together. They are free to live together any way they want. Nobody's hindering that.
No.
Okay? Nobody. They're allowed to vote. They're allowed to go and sit and eat wherever they want to. They can. They have every right. They get a job. Mm-hmm. They can have health insurance.
See, and here's the thing.
And, but the only. But you know what? The thing that they're wanting is that tax break. That's part of it too.
See, we did a show just recently where I said that, you know, there's a group of people who do think a civil rights is an issue and they don't want nothing to do with the church. They just want to go to a justice of the peace and be married as a homosexual. My view on that program, I said.
Our view on that.
And if you're going to agree with me, that's great.
I agree with that.
My view on this is that you do not mess with the sanctity of marriage. Marriage is a religious activity. Mm-hmm. Within a minister's right to make a decision, because the minister has the right to do it or not. You ask a minister, he doesn't have to do it if he doesn't want to. And there's a bunch of rules and regulations depending on your religious belief on what you can and can't do for that kind of marriage. Here in America, you still have to sign a piece of paper, and I'm legally able to marry people. Miranda's grandparents are, her father is, and you get this piece of paper. We've all seen it for anyone who's been married. I like to hear someone argue with me on this. It clearly states at the bottom, sign your name, the pastor signs his name, it's dated. Then you got to go to the courthouse and pay, $35, $40, something like that, for a marriage license. Now, here's the thing. I said on that show, and I'll say it again, you know, if you're recognized by the church has their own format. They can print something, sign by the pastor, and give it to the couple saying, you got married. You can get recognized by the state and the federal that you are a civil couple, a civil union, as I called it, then gay, straight, bi, whatever you are, you can go and do that. But leave the church alone.
Yeah.
You see what this is doing? It's trick language.
Mm-hmm.
When you dissect this, the NAACP is saying they want same-sex marriage to happen because it's a civil rights issue. But the problem is they're wanting to also tell the church that you are now illegal. You are now committing a crime.
And that is infringing upon our constitutional rights.
Because the argument is, and the lines of separation of church and state, and I know this is an argument because we're always talking about stuff affecting Christians, and now we're talking about stuff affecting non-Christians and Christians, still at the same point depending on which way you want to look at this. This is the dangerous part. The NAACP just threw all Christians under the bus. Let me take it a step further. Anyone of any faith.
Yeah.
Judaism, Taoism, Muslim, Christianity. If you don't believe in homosexuality and you don't want to marry someone who says that they want to be a Muslim or whatever and they want to be a Christian and they come to your mosque, they come to your temple, they come to your sanctuary, whatnot, and they say that, they're telling you now you can't do that anymore.
They're saying you can't have an opinion anymore.
So here's what's going to happen here in America if this continues. Our program and what we're talking about is being dialogued and recorded, you know, on live stream. It's going on YouTube. But it's also going and being monitored by the government. As soon as a law such as, you know, saying homosexuality should be allowed as a form of marriage, that moment I become a criminal. And I have a t-shirt that says, I'm a criminal.
For wearing the shirt.
For wearing this t-shirt, talking about the truth of Jesus Christ. That's the thing. The devil is very keen on destroying the tongue. Because he's already used the tongue to cuss people out and commit crimes and do all sorts of stuff. What would he like nothing better than to silence
every one of us.
Every Christian. Except for those that have the boldness to speak up. I know what it's like to be tortured. I know what it's like to not have anything at all. So I'm not afraid of standing up for the truth. I talk to people who will tell me privately homosexuality is a sin, but I can't say that in public. I'll get in trouble. So what do you mean you'll get in trouble? Well, I'm afraid a homosexual or a government or someone's going to attack me. I have friends in Canada that say that. They can't say this outside of a church. Outside of their own home. So my program is going to be censored by the government. It already is. It's very obvious. And why? Because apparently I'm some kind of danger. I don't know what danger I am other than I'm speaking the word of the Lord. And I'm not telling anyone to hurt anybody. I'm not telling you to go hurt people. I'm telling you that this may be a sin, but what do? You still love people. Right now we're working on trying to help a homosexual couple save the electricity bill. I've been talking to them. Hopefully, you know, they'll call me later tonight, and we'll be able to, you know, assist them in getting the electric bill on. I've talked to other ministers, and they have told me that I was wrong for trying to help them because they're a sinner. I said, I don't care how dark someone's sin is. If you don't want to reach them, then you're not living the light of Christ.
That's right.
And that's the thing.
You have to love them. We have to.
And that's the thing. I don't care how mean or how bad and hateful you are. You know, you're going to slander my name. I'll end up telling you to stop. If you keep going, I might have to go, you know, and say, you know, this keeps up. I might have to go to court over this stuff because I don't want to be accused of saying something I'm not and causing, you know, harm to somebody. You know, there's a fine line on what you can and cannot do here. Yeah. And when it comes to homosexuals, I said it on the other show, it's a sex act. It's not really hurting you. And I've ran into people who actually are bigots that when they have a dialogue with someone who is in a same-sex relationship, they can't go and give them a hug, shake their hand. Like, I can't, no. Give them a hug and a hand. Oh my, are you serious? Come on.
I think, it makes me think of the documentary, Lord Save Us From Your People.
Lord Save Us From Your Followers, huh?
From Your Followers. I thought it was Your People, but there's a documentary out there about, this Christian made about how, other Christians severely persecute and put down people like homosexuals and people who don't believe the same way we do, and how that's wrong. And this guy did a whole documentary. He was, you know, just going around loving people.
Yeah, like, check this out. This is what Evita King said. She said, neither my great-grandfather, an NAACP founder, my grandfather, Dr. Martin Luther King Sr., an NAACP leader, my Uncle Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. embraced the homosexual agenda. They never embraced it. And they said the current NAACP is attempting to label it as a civil rights agenda. The civil rights reader suggests. And this is the thing. It gets to a point where you got to be careful. What you say, what you do, how you act, how you communicate. She talks about how, you know, the black community has high unemployment, high abortions, dropout rates, and a bunch of problems mm-hmm. where people are being harmed. And she said, why aren't we focusing on fixing the problems?
Exactly.
And taking it to the step that Mr. King wanted, which was unity. That's one of the things I saw in South Africa, was unity. I had no black person had a problem with me. I had no problem with them.
They wanted
not a racist, not
they wanted
a bigot.
To touch your hair. They'd never
they
seen hair
to touch
like
my
that.
Hair. I mean, good grief, they were taking pieces of my hair.
They'd never seen hair like that before.
You know, it makes me sad.
They wanted to touch your skin. They'd never seen skin
now,
like that.
Now, on another note, and I got to try and get a hold of Religious Freedom Rally is coming up June 8th. And I'm going to be trying to get a hold of them here recently in the future. But for right now, you guys got to see this update. 43 Catholic groups. Notre Dame, the Catholic Diocese, the University of Notre Dame, the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., have filed dozens of lawsuits against the Obama administration for violating constitutional guaranteed freedom of religion. This is about the sterilizations and abortion drugs. And what it comes down to is exactly what I just said. The church realizes that if you're being forced as a Christian entity, and this is what I've talked about. I said as soon as a church that wants to have a hospital or even a shelter, and I'm seeing here locally, I'm not seeing people donate food and stuff to shelters that often. And depending on where you live, if you do, you can't tell anyone about it. Because you can get fined, go to jail. We're living in a world where being a Christian and trying to serve the people is against the law. Like, I want to go feed somebody. I want to go feed a group of people. I'm being told, no. You're being told that if you're a non-profit, well, you fall under the government rules and regulations. And that means everything. So if you're a Christian hospital...
Mm-hmm.
Which is what, you know, University of Notre Dame and the diocese and everyone's talking about. And even Protestants like myself and others are getting involved in this because we see the bigger picture. The bigger picture is it is an attack on faith. And the problem that we keep facing is coming so apparent that... The Bible is very clear that, you know, in the end days, people are going to fall away. And that's exactly what's happening here. You know, when you have 43 Catholic groups file a lawsuit, it shows me the bigger picture. But here's the thing I'm thinking in my head that I was trying to get to a second ago. Nonprofits. Falling under government regulations. You are almost setting yourself up for failure.
Oh, yeah.
If our government continually gets any darker than it already is, with... Speaking in regards to what happens to the church and any church faith-based organization, if you keep saying, government, you can't have anyone donate food, you can't have anyone give time, and if you so on and so forth, that's the problem here that I'm seeing, is we're in this position where you're going to have to drop your nonprofits. I would not doubt the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church, and I'm challenging you all today, drop your nonprofits.
Why do we need them?
Well, you need them to be allowed to do medical practice. The whole thing would shut down.
But I'm talking about ministries, churches that get nonprofits. Why do you need it? Other than, well, it makes it easier to stay open, but at what cost?
Well, the reason why is the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and everything already established that religious entities can exist. But the problem is, along the way, in the 1800s and 1900s, in the beginning, there was a lot of corruption.
Mm-hmm.
So then the government said, I need a way to monitor you. So they created the nonprofit. This happened in 1953, I believe. 48-53. I'll have to give the exact date. I don't have the exact date. It's in the 30s to 50s range. I'll have to check that out. Because I did a show on it not probably about 3 years ago about nonprofits and how the church didn't always have a nonprofit. You know, we didn't always have an income tax. You know, these are the things that people don't realize. What's the biggest way to silence a church? Make them be more involved in the government.
Oh, yeah.
What's the way to...
Look at China. Look what China does to the churches.
Then on this other hand, look, we have stuff like, you know, the food banks, which are government entities. I understand that. They get good food. But what happens when a public person can't donate to their local shelters and the only food that's coming in is from the government? What happens when those programs don't have a lot of money? Then the shelters and the other programs break. And that's exactly what happened in our second and third world countries. It happened in Germany. It's happened in Africa. It's happened in China. And we're just following down the same path. You're not empowering anyone. You're making complete control. Well, we need to verify the food is safe. Okay, here's what you can do. Allow the donations to come in. Have someone check it. But then there's the argument, well, we can't check every can and all this stuff that came in.
They check it to make sure it's not expired. That is...
And honestly, I've not heard, and you know, until the government can come and tell me that there's been a massive case of homeless people at shelters dying from donated food, I will defend your argument from that
point. What is safer? To regulate the heck out of whether or not how much people can donate food-wise, or see these people and see these people have to go eat out of dumpsters? Okay, what's safer to eat?
Exactly.
Food that is... I mean, people are dumpster diving and eating food out of dumpsters of restaurants, okay? I don't think that donated food is going to be as dangerous as what they would be pulling out of a dumpster.
Yep.
Okay? Where is the common sense in all of this? There is none.
No.
We, you know, you can regulate the heck out of stuff, but in the end, who's going to suffer? The people who need that, what you're giving, you know, the product. And that's who's going to suffer.
And then I'm looking at another quote in here. By suing this administration, they're sending a message that freedom of religion is guaranteed in the United States Constitution, it is essential to our liberties, and that they will fight to preserve it.
That's right.
The Constitution guarantees more than simply freedom of worship.
Mm-hmm.
It protects the right to live out one's religious beliefs in accordance with their faith.
Jeremy's not hit puberty yet.
yeah, okay. And that's my point, is I understand when, you know, everyone should have a free will and right if they want to do things, but the argument is, as push comes to shove, I know a lot of Christians would like to see the abolishment of all abortions. I think we can get to that point. The one thing I don't know if we can get to is the abolishment of birth control pills. Good example. Brandon, can you explain why you're on birth control pills?
Because if I'm not, then I will hemorrhage. And on top of that, I have a massive, large cyst on one of my ovaries. And the only way to keep it from basically growing to the point where it could burst or, you know, I would need surgery is to be on birth control. And it's not... If I didn't have all these problems with my... with my body, I wouldn't even be on birth control because I would rather save the money. So yeah, I mean, there is a need for things like that, for people like me and my sister and my family who, you know, struggle with these, kind of female problems. And it's not to prevent pregnancy, it's to keep us healthy.
Exactly. Keep you healthy.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big key factor in what can and cannot be done.
I mean, if I didn't have birth control, I wouldn't even be on this show right now. Because it's at the end of the month, I'd be stuck in bed for a week. On top of the Crohn's disease and, you know, the other diseases I have, I mean, it's just, I understand, but at the same time, nobody should be forced to pay for something or buy something they don't want to. Mm-hmm. You understand? That's unconstitutional. And they should have the right to choose whether or not they want to pay for that.
Exactly.
I agree with
that. And that's the thing, the point is they want to go to the point where we don't have to, if you're a Christian hospital or whatever, you shouldn't have to do that. But the problem is, a lot of times patients are wanting to go in that are already on these birth control pills and whatnot, and the Catholic churches will say, we won't give it to you while they're in the hospital.
That did happen to me at one hospital.
And I understand that.
And it didn't really mess me up because I was only in there for like 2 days.
And it really shouldn't mess somebody up, you know. It shouldn't cause any ill wills or whatnot. It should honestly get you to a point where you're able to move in the right direction with what Christ wants you to do. And there again, you got to be careful with it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand the whole point of how all this works. Now, I want to look at something else here. We're not going to play the clip. Or I might play the clip with it muted. I don't know how I'm going to do this. But John Brennan has been just recently named the death czar over more particularly the drone program, and who can go out and actually be picked to be assassinated. Some people call them the assassination czar. Now,
my question: Why have we allowed? Why has Congress and Senate and the House of Representatives, why did they allow this?
Well, it's no different, and I understand this from the military.
No one man should have that much power. One person decides, well, today we're going to go kill this group of people. And today...
But that's the way it's always... Well, here's the thing.
No.
Here's the way it works. You have one person that has the final vote.
Exactly.
On who gets...
But this guy is the judge, jury, and executioner.
Not really, because...
That's what they said in the video.
Well, I know, but that's an analogy. That's not really true. He's just oversees the accounts, the recommended people that should be assassinated or targeted and monitored for our protection. How this works, and this isn't classified, is a list of people come in. I'm going to make this as transparent without breaking the law. A list of names and places come in to a place. I'm going to use a bunch of general words. It's going to sound boring, but it'll make sense. All this stuff comes in, and he makes a decision what happens. Then it goes out to the field. The field commander and a team makes a decision on what to do. They double verify, and then they follow suit. So honestly, he's not the one who does all the things, you know, sitting in the White House and pushing the button and zap, everyone's gone. No, it's not like that. Like with nuclear weapons, it was two-person integrity across the field for government, top secrets, secret kind of work. It's two-person integrity at safes, crypto, any of those kinds of things. The same thing happens with this. But the creepy part I do understand is, why do we have to keep adding more people? We already have people. I just told you the people are doing this. You know, if we have a list already of a database that these people are available and you can go find it, why do we need someone else on top of the people that already exist to do this to monitor who's doing what? You know, I don't get this czar stuff. I think we're going way above and beyond. I mean, there's arguments from Republicans that, you know, the government's spending a lot of money.
Well, I got the point.
Democrats come out with other stats saying, no, we've spent the least amount of money. You know, I can't get a straight answer.
My point is, I thought that's why we had the Senate, the Congress, the House of Representatives, and the President. I thought that's why we had all of these different people.
When it comes to an act of war,
But you have to go through Congress to do an act of war.
An act of war, but to kill someone, there's a fine line, there's a difference.
But my point is, why do we have to keep adding, like you said, why do we have to keep adding new people when we already have an established government to help run all that?
Well, there again, that's another good point. Why do we need to keep adding more people? Well, I can say something.
It is monopolizing everything. That's what it is.
Here's one of the reasons I'm thinking in their brain why they're doing it. What if, hypothetically, everyone underneath, according to those that are in the higher positions, aren't doing their job right? Now, my question is, when I was in the military and I have friends in law enforcement, so on and so forth, if they have a fellow officer, comrade, whatever you want to call it, fellow person.
Okay.
Let me explain this. I got this.
I understand.
You don't know what I'm about to say. Here's what happens. That person is removed from the situation and either put on leave, fired, gone, sent to jail, whatnot, and someone else replaces them. But I don't understand why we have to have someone of such high regard.
Okay, Jerry,
we
went how many? We have gone since the founding of our country up until now without these quote czars and adding all these extra people. And why now? If we over 200 years, we've been fine without all this stuff. We've gone through Revolutionary War, Civil War. We've gone through World War I, World War II,
mm-hmm.
Korean War, Vietnam, Desert Storm, and the beginning of Iraqi freedom. Why do we need them now?
And that's the thing. Some of these things kind of existed through some of those wars, but not to this extent. I honestly think it's fear. I'm trying to, psychoanalyze the mind of a liberal, of a progressive, of a Democrat, and even going to the other side, a conservative and a Republican. Why would you want to vote and allow something like this in? So here I am thinking right now, and I'm speaking out my mind as I'm thinking, I'm thinking it's fear, the argument's like a micromanagement maybe, or is it the fact, that they just want to know more what's going on.
And also the U.S.
Here's the
people.
Thing, there are more people in our government who have no prior military experience. So no wonder you would keep creating more positions.
Here's another thing. The U.S. people don't even get to vote that these people are in charge. We vote on the Senate. We vote on the, we vote for House representatives and we vote on the president and all this other stuff. Why can't we vote whether or not we want these people to be in charge? I mean, there are people being put in charge that we never had a chance to even vote for. They've just been, okay, well, the president's going to, we're going to do this now. This person's going to have this much power. Well, we didn't vote on that.
No.
We didn't vote that person in.
No, we definitely didn't vote that person in. I
have a big problem with that, too. Shouldn't we have a right who's going to be over us? Especially over our military and the drones and who's going to be killed.
But here's the argument. There's a lot of positions that a president in his office is allowed to vote on. That is covered by the Constitution. This is covered by the Constitution, these czars. But
I don't know.
There's a fine line of when is it going to stop and why do we need them? Because when these czars were created, they were a temporary solution to a problem.
No, they're still there. Obama's coming to the end of his first term, and they're still there. And he's adding more and more. I have a problem with that. Let's move on.
So now, Miranda, let's talk about this.
Yep, MTV scraps reality show about young people losing their virginity. MTV put out a open call for people, and they actually... they actually have a picture of the thing that was posted on their website that they posted, an open call for young people who wanted to lose their virginity on TV, and they were going to call the show My First. Not exactly going to show people actually having sex, they say, but talking about what it was like to lose their virginity. And I think, this is so stupid. And so did a lot of other people, and people protested, and now MTV's not making the show. Thank God for that. Because, MTV does a bad enough job showing Teen Mom and Jersey Shore and all these other horrible shows. But you know what they've got on MTV now when I was over at Grandma's? They're now showing Saved by the Bell. Saved by the Bell. That was, we watched that. That was clean stuff.
And that was considered taboo where I came from the more conservative.
That was clean stuff compared to what they put on now, and I think, wow, you're going to put that on MTV? How many kids are really going to watch Saved by the Bell right now? I mean, you're showing all this other, you know, more explicit stuff, and you put Saved by the Bell, and you see Screech making, you know, funny jokes, and, you know, it's pretty tame.
So
no, not even a bleep word. Ever.
I realize, you know, this may have been canceled on MTV, but I would not doubt that.
Yeah, there's the casting call information.
I would not doubt.
Even though they're denying this now. MTV is denying this. But yet here is
the
picture.
They're not denying. They're saying that, you know, they canceled it.
But they denied they never put that up there. But yet here we have it.
Franklin captured the journey in a new series called My First. We're looking for adults who are willing to go all the way. Go all the way. I remember as a kid growing up hearing about the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High. In that movie, the Santa Rosa Mall was used, and I know that because I've been to the mall, and people when I was in California would not stop talking about Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Well, it was the beginning of, like, right after the Porky-style movies and Fast Times, Ridgemont High, teen sex films.
Yeah.
And it was the 70s and 80s. I'm 31 now. I'll be 32 this year. And we've gone now on to American Pie and so on and so forth. I know these things. I'm a Christian. I'm not blind. I don't watch them, but I know about them. And we live in this world today where so much is focused on entertainment. You can entertain anyone with anything. We've done it with things as horrific of people being killed, a movie such as Saw. People go and I've seen clips of Saw, and it worries me that people think this stuff is cool. Then we go over to the sex stuff, and they think it's cool. And then you get to this point where it's not even about Christ anymore. It's about
a feeling.
Having a good time.
Just having a good
it's
time.
It's just a feeling. So what happens when that feeling goes away? Well,
or what
you're
happens
being
when
told.
That feeling turns into a baby, or it turns into an STD, or a sexually transmitted, you know?
We got a pill for that. We got a pill for
AIDS.
That. We got
or,
a pill for that. We got a shot for that.
That's their excuse now.
What happens? I'll give you an example. What happens when you're my wife with, and she's gonna cry when I say this. Get prepared. You know what I'm about to say. With her gastroparesis and Crohn's, she's not physically able to have sex with me, but I'm still with her. We went, what, 6, 8 months?
It's been a long time.
6 or 8 months we went without having intercourse. We're still married. Now, I challenge you today, young little 18-year-old kid, 14-year-old kid, can you do this? Can you stay with someone like Miranda? I'll bet you tell me no. Why? Because it's a feeling. If you're listening to your little thingy bob going on down,
you know what
legs,
I think. I thank God that he didn't make love that way. Because you know what? If that's what all that love is sex and just a feeling, then Jesus would never have died on the cross for us.
Yep. You gotta realize Jesus.
Because
didn't
he
have
wouldn't
sex.
Have been able to love us that much if we go on only by feeling. If it's good for me, if I feel good, then that's right, that's love, you know. And as long as that person's giving me sex, that's love. I thank God that he didn't make love that way, and it isn't. And what about people who are in their 70s and 80s? I mean, you know that's not happening, but they're still together. Because love should be unconditional.
Mm-hmm.
If you truly love somebody, it doesn't matter
if
you can't have sex anymore.
Yes.
Sex was a gift so that we could reproduce and make life. That's what it was made for. God said, told Adam and Eve, go and be fruitful and reproduce.
And
he didn't say go and have a good time.
It's the ultimate form of love. And what
it
happens
is.
When the ultimate form of love is taken away from a relationship, it is the most difficult thing in the world to deal with. I'm not going to lie. It is. I was tempted that time when it was 6-8 months, couldn't do nothing. It was tempted. It was difficult. I had to avoid people. I had to delete people. I had to block people. I had to avoid going places. I had to be like Joseph, who lost his coat. But I never went that far to lose my coat.
You never ran away naked. Get that woman away from me!
But you know, you got to be careful. You got to guard your heart. You got to guard your eyes and your ears and the people and the things you associate with. It's difficult. It's hard.
But if you truly love the person you are with unconditionally, you can make it through any trial. And it truly has to do with your relationship with God. If you love the Lord, loving each other will come easy, no matter what you go through.
Exactly. So now I want to look at this last little piece.
Because it has to do with sex too.
This is a chart from the Gallup polls. The dark green is the pro-choice. The light green is pro-life. Now this is from 95 to 2011. Now the pro-choice was over 56% and 95%, and pro-life was 33% in 1995. This is when we started doing all these abortions. Now, one of the things you noticed...
That's when Clinton passed the law that abortion was legal.
So abortion passed. That was all great and happy. Well, then we found out what abortion really is and what it looks like and how it happens. It starts going up to the 40s, 45s. And it spiked in 2009 at 51.
Pro-life.
Then it went back down about mid-40s and then back up to about 50, 51. Interesting enough, the pro-choice has gone from 50% down to 42, now down to 41. And it's on a rapid decline because we have friends. My ex-girlfriend was a medical assistant. She worked at Planned Parenthood in California at an undisclosed location. I will not tell you which girlfriend this is. She told me what they do. She had to clean up the knives, the suction materials, and all the baggy parts and everything. And she saw them chop up the pieces of and you could tell it was a baby. She didn't do all the chopping. She had to put it in the bag. She did it like four or five times. She said, "I can't do this anymore." And I said, "Why can't you do this anymore?" She said, "Because it's wrong." I said, "Why is it wrong?" She's like, "It's obvious that's a baby, and this mother's saying to kill it." And I've said it on my show before. If I took a gun and Brandon's pregnant and I shot her and killed her, I would be charged with killing two people. I would be attempted manslaughter of two individuals. Not one.
But yet when a mother chooses attempted to murder, abort it,
two people.
It's just a choice.
When it's the mother, now here's the thing. If Miranda wanted to kill herself, she can go to jail and to a psychiatric institution for that. But when you want to remove a baby, there's nothing wrong with you. Now, it used to be deemed a long time ago that if you wanted to abort your baby, there was something wrong with you in your head. Because that's part of the response. See, that's the thing. Once again, this comes back to responsibility.
For your
responsibility
actions.
For your actions. If you get pregnant,
you had to do something to get pregnant.
Yeah.
You had to make the choice to have sex.
The argument is, and I've seen some statistics that kind of, I can see why you guys might think this. Well, if we just allow people to have sex and whatever, you know, it lowers the sex rate, and in some cases it may do that. But you still have this issue with a baby. Mm-hmm. And I'm being told that there's a war on women. Women's rights to have an abortion. Now, I'm not arguing about the birth control, because the only excuse that you should be on birth control is, and I'm hoping a doctor comes up with another solution, is if you're going to hemorrhage and you can prove that that's the only reason and that's the only thing that can be done. Because the argument is, with the gynecologists and everything today, is you're too young to get a partial or full hysterectomy. You might have children someday. Or, you know, your cyst or your situation's not bad enough. It's bad enough for my wife to have to take a medication pill to cause her to abort a baby every time we've ever had sex. Are you serious? I always wonder, would we have had a baby if she wasn't on that pill? And I wouldn't doubt we would have.
And you'd have been happy about it. It'd have been a little scary because, you know, financially.
And I wonder. And I wonder about how do we, as people.
But you know, the fact is, you know, they won't do these surgeries.
No.
Like my mother, she ended up hemorrhaging. She was on birth control for many years, and before she even turned 50, before she even could hit menopause, she ended up hemorrhaging just out of nowhere. She started hemorrhaging for an entire month, and she turned anemic, and she had to go and have she was admitted to the emergency room, admitted in the hospital, and had to have an emergency blood transfusion. The next few days, she had to have an emergency partial hysterectomy. Now, if somebody would have just done that sooner, done that surgery sooner on her, she wouldn't have possibly almost died, you know, from hemorrhaging. And that's why I get upset. You know, I wish I could just go and have this done and over with, have this cyst removed, you know, get the stuff out that is not working, so then I can live a better life, and I won't have to depend on these pills until I'm in my 50s, because that's where I'm going. Because I have an aunt, she is nearly 50 years old, and she is still on birth control because of the fact that she has endometriosis.
And then
she will hemorrhage, and she will be in so much pain that to the point where she wouldn't even be able to hold down a job.
And here's the thing. I realize we can't make people stop from having sex. We can't make people stop from making a lot of the decisions that they make.
But medically, hold them accountable for
them. I'm like, here's the thing. Here's the argument. The liberal progressive movement will tell you, well, we have to have abortion because we're going to have overpopulation. And we'll have parents, the crack addict mom or whatever, have babies that can't take care of them. So we're going to have these kids that are going to go automatically into welfare, or we're going to have all these kids that are going to die. Now, I agree that there will be a small amount of people that will probably fall into that category. But if you couldn't get an abortion, here's the other thing that happened in the 70s when my mom was in Houston. It was called coat hanger syndrome or something like that.
Yeah.
Where a woman would go with the coat hanger and just start, you know, rotor-rooting herself with the coat hanger so she could pull out whatever she could.
That makes me sick to think about that.
That's why abortion finally got passed, because there's a lot of people that have died. But here's the other thing, too. A lot of women have said that they've grieved for the loss of their child months and years later, mm-hmm. after realizing what they have done. So regardless of the fact that, yes, there might be some people who, you know, fall to the wayside and have a child who can't take care of it, da-da-da-da, we create programs to help these people.
Yep.
You know, if they don't want their child, it's called, you can adopt your child. You can put your child up for foster care. You can actually, in the 9 months that child is being conceived, you can go and figure out some way.
You can find a family who can't.
A family
have,
who would want it.
Like my
now,
sister who can't
there's
have
two places.
Child
you, there's three places you
adopt.
Can drop a child off. A police department, a fire department,
a hospital,
and a hospital. That's the other way of doing it, which I know I've heard people doing that before. Three ways people want to, you know, trying to radically transform and do things. I have to tell you guys that this is something that you got to wake up and realize. That this is not something that I take lightly at all. It's something that I realize is real dear to my heart. And it's something, as Christians, we need to wake up and realize. And this is a victory for today. You know, pro-choice Americans. Record low, 9.9% difference. You know, this is an amazing thing going on here today. And you know, this has been Eternal Flame News, and I have to tell you, it breaks my heart, the things that we've seen today and talked about, because I know it makes Christ cry, because it breaks my heart that we share these stories, because we want you to activate your faith. We want you to not just say, oh my God, this is so bad. And I'm like, man, I don't know what I can do. I'm telling you now, you can pray. Mm-hmm. You can educate your family and friends. You can vote.
Yes.
You can stand up for the truth. Quit being afraid, little chicken Christian.
Use the freedoms that we have been given, that our forefathers gave us.
Yes.
Use them. Because if we don't use them, they will be taken away. And they are trying to pass laws to take them away. We have to stand up and we have to speak. And we have to know the truth. And that's why we're sharing. Well, you know, the truth shall set you free.
And that's the end of tonight's program. God bless. We'll see you soon.